Good morning, Eagles Way. Okay, good morning, praise team. Good morning, congregation. All right, I'll accept that. Today, I was really excited about doing the welcome. I was supposed to be doing a joint welcome with my right-hand man, Tim, but I need you guys to keep him in your prayers. He started bleeding from his ear and had to go to the doctor yesterday, and it started again today, so... pray for Tim, keep him in your prayers, and I had all these great, wonderful things I was going to say about him today, and it just doesn't feel right saying them without him here, so I'll save that for our next time doing the welcome together. So, you know, usually when I'm up here, I talk to you guys about something personal that has happened that I want, you know, to share with you guys, and this time it was in Walmart. I hate going to Walmart, just hate it, because you see everybody you know in there, so I'm usually walking with, you know, I have a sick kid, and I'm walking fast with a purpose, you know, kind of thing, but my wife works there as well, so it's even worse, and when you work with somebody, especially women, like, you feel like you know them, you know their family and their spouses, so, you know, I have these random women walk up to me, like, hey, what y'all gonna name that baby? I'm like, do I know you? You know, they get real personal with you, and you have no clue who they are, so I'm in there walking really fast. So I was walking the other day, and I see out of my periphery this guy. He's making a beeline right for me. And I said, oh, my God, here we go. Just want to get some deodorant. And I see him. He's getting closer and closer. And I'm thinking in my head. In my head, I'm saying, no, I don't have any money to give you any gas. No, I don't want to buy any Girl Scout cookies. No, I don't want to buy a discount card. I'm thinking all these things in my head. But when he made it there, the ordained minister in me said, hey, how are you? Having a great day? He said, yeah, you know, if I can have a second of your time, you know, that'd be great. In my head, I said, well, you just took a second of my time. But the ordained minister in me said, sure, what's going on? What's on your mind? He said, I'm up here. My church is Greater Kingdom something, and we're down in Barnesville, and I'm just walking around Walmart inviting people to my church to come and worship with us, you know. And immediately I said, well, you know, that's great, but I'm a member of Eagles Way Church. I'm a youth pastor there. He didn't stop. He said, well, that's great. You know, when are your services? And I told him, he said, when you have some chance, when you have a chance, you can come down and visit us. I mean, he was relentless, just boom, 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 wanted to get me down there. So as he walked away, you know, I thought about some things, and I realized, you know, one, how awesome was it that this guy was all the way up in Griffin from Barnesville, you know, trying to invite people to his church. I mean, how many churches did he pass from Barnesville to Griffin to come all the way up here to Walmart to invite people to his church? Second of all, I'm covered. I'm here. I'm at Eagles Way. I'm a member of this wonderful, great church. So when he asked me, I was proud to tell him, no, I have somewhere where I belong. And lastly, you know, he said, well, you know, if there's anything you need, you may not be getting what you want, you know, where you are, you know, come and give us a visit. And I said, no, I'm great. And there wasn't one thing I could think about that I wasn't receiving at this church that I needed in my life. If anything, I received way more than I could ever, ever hope for. So, you know, I just want to take this time to thank you guys for being a wonderful church, a wonderful congregation, wonderful leadership, and welcome to Eagles Way. Dusty says, stand and worship with us.
You're my one. Even right now, your presence, Lord, just overwhelms us. It overtakes our heart, God, and that all things grow dim in the light of who you are, in the light of your love, and we worship you and we honor you this morning.
Thank you. desperate for your touch, a glimpse of heaven through the glory of your Son. And in a moment you can turn a life around, forever to be found in you. And I am reaching out to find, there's nothing greater than your love that holds my life. Your grace and mercy that have saved me by your blood, swept away my shame, oh Lord. Your love is like fire, burns for all to see. My only desire is to worship at your feet. So let this fire consume my life. Let your love take me deeper. Draw me closer to where you are. So I'm surrendered to your love, forever humbled by the message of the cross. I stand abandoned in your presence and embrace. I'll never be the same, oh God. Your love is like fire, burns for all. My only desire is to worship at your feet. So let this fire consume my life. Let your love take me deeper. Draw me closer to where you at your feet.
This week was a difficult week of somewhat. My grandmother passed away on Tuesday. But you wouldn't believe the weekend I had last weekend of her being able to talk to me and tell her that she loves me. I mean, how awesome is that? God's all-consuming fire, His glory, will work all things out like that. Last Easter, all my cousins were home from college. Most of them are younger than me. We were all in that room together with her on her last day that she actually communicated. And God's glory and power is just awesome. Amen. That we got to have that moment. And, you know, through the week we had the funeral when she passed. I've never felt more peace about anything in my life to know where she has gone to be with the Lord. And I just felt the need to share that with you because God's glory and God's power is all-consuming fire. His love for us is just more than we can ever imagine. And when I sit back and soak it in, and I want you just to sit back and soak in God's love for you, let's praise Him and let's worship Him this morning.
My life is yours, and my hope is in you, only. My heart you hold, 'cause you made this sinner holy and whole. Heartbeat of my life is to worship in your light. Your glory is so beautiful. Your glory is so beautiful. Yes.
My life is yours.
Jesus.
tell you, I sing that song and I say, you are good. Just holding back tears right now. It's really hard to sing when you cry, so you really work hard to hold back tears. And I say that because a friend asked me before the service, hadn't talked to her in a while, and she says, how are you doing? Like, where are you? How are you? And I said, you know, I am just got a clear, sober mind. I have such clarity. And sometimes you don't know what you're missing or what's not clear until you're clear. And I am, everywhere I turn this week, it is, here I get crying, fix your eyes. Fix your eyes, fix your thoughts, fix, 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 fix. And in Philippians, and you've heard this over and over, and we teach it over and over, and we talk about it over and over, but it's so real. It's so real. This is truth. It's not just some anthem that we wave, some flag that we wave. It's real. And it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace that exceeds anything you can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And then Paul says, and now, dear brothers, one final thing. It's like he's finally, listen to this. Finally, listen. Fix your thoughts. Fix them on what is true, on what is honorable, on what is right, on what is pure, on what is lovely, and what is admirable. And think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise and keep putting into practice. You see, sometimes when we don't realize that, we got that fuzzy mind, we realize, man, put it back into practice, Dusty Tackle. Wake up in the morning and put it back into practice. And then it says, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And something that's so cool, when we sing this next song, it is well with my soul. And it says, through it all, my eyes are on Him. Through it all, and if you've read my blog about the entire spilled cup of coffee all over the coffee table and all over my phone, keep putting into practice through all of those things. Fix your eyes. Rise above the spilled coffee. Rise above the report. Rise above the news. Rise above the aggravating thing your husband just did. Rise above it and fix your eyes on what is good. And then you can say, it is well with my soul. And what's so cool about that, let me tell you what's so cool. Not only does your day go better and life is good and full of abundance, but suddenly you see with clarity. You see things you didn't see before. And so when I was singing, God, you are good, it's like I see this whole new revelation of His goodness. And I'm like, I didn't see that. You've been good, but I didn't see that. And suddenly, He's good. He's gooder. That's for you, Ralph. He's better. He's brighter. Everything is brighter and better, and we get to live this now. We get to live this now. So fix your thoughts. And you know, when you fix your thoughts, we can say, grander earth has quaked before. Because God, we know that no matter what, we are able to rise above and soar like eagles. That's who we are, Eagles Way Church. That's who we are. Amen. Let's sing this. Grander earth has quaked before. Moved by the sound of His voice. And seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for your regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. And through it all,
with me. Oh, we thank you, God. Oh, we thank you. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Because through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Yes, it is. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well.
Thank you, Father God, that we get to live this life now. We thank you, God, Lord, that we can always say it is well with our soul, Lord, because we trust in you. We fix our eyes on you. And I just thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Father, for ears to hear and eyes to see you, to see truth and to walk in it. And everybody says, amen.
Good job. Amen. You guys get better every week. Y'all must practice every now and then. Like them bow ties you're wearing there, dude. You know, I was thinking while Dusty was preaching that we're not one of the largest churches in the world, but I tell you what, we got more people in this church that can preach than any church. This church has got some preachers in it. I mean, good preachers, a lot of them. And that just thrills me. Man, I could, any Sunday morning, if I couldn't make it, I got a bunch of people I can call. I mean, Johnny on the spot. Some of you have never heard Keith Wesley. Keith Wesley is a good preacher. He shared before. You'll be amazed. You're going to like the video I play at the end. Keith's going to remind you of something. Got Will Doss here. Share the word. Preach the word. Got Linda Hardwick and preach the word. Got Ken Mullis has gotten preach the word. Even in big church, he can preach the word. Got Joey Grubbs, preach the word. But who else is in here, Ken? I'm telling you, Ralph can preach the word. It's a little positive touch to it and zone to it. He can do it. I'm telling you. Brandon can preach the word. Dude, I've heard you twice at your granddaddy and your grandmother's funeral, and you just did awesome. I'm just sit back there, and I'm just so proud of you. Man, I'm just so proud of all of you. Jason, you can even preach the word. You can rap it. You can do it a lot of different ways. I almost called you up here last Sunday and give me a help, you know. Let's get this thing going. But I know that we have, and thank God for this, we have a lot of new people coming to Eagles Way Church. And I haven't been here for several weeks. So I just want you to know what this big old word being up there is about. Every year over the last 20 years, I guess, we have always had a theme for the next year. This is not a theme. This is a paradigm shift. This is not a thing for the year. This is a paradigm shift for decades to come for this church, that we're focusing on our being, not our doing, our being. Because in Him we live and move and have our being. And if we will be first, then our doing will be so much better. It will have so much more effect as it flows out of who we are, not out of a duty, not out of someone. You know, I read out of Colossians last week and talked about that self-denial and doing certain things and really has no effect, because it's got to come to who you are in Christ, and out of who you are in Christ becomes a great effect. It's not about beating yourself into submission, it's about being submitted. It's not making myself do something, it's doing something out of my being. I'm not trying to be devoted to God, I am devoted. I'm not trying to be dedicated to God, I am dedicated. I'm not trying to please Him, He's pleased me, and He's in me, and it's just flowing out. It's just who we are. And so God gave us five words about how we're going to grasp this being. And He gave us five words, and the first one was giving, and the next one is renewing, and then attending, and then serving, and then praying. And out of those five words, you get the acronym for grasp. And to grasp something means that you eagerly seize it. You grasp it, you take hold of it. How many of you know that if something's really precious to you, you want to take hold of it? And so what I want to talk about this morning and for this month, we're going to talk about attending to things. We're going to talk about attending. Today I'm going to talk about attending to our being. And to attend means to hold the mind towards, to pay attention, to be cautious about, to adhere, to beware, to adhere and to beware. I want to read a passage of scripture out of Judges chapter 7. And it says that Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Harod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. Now, I'm sure Gideon wasn't expecting that. Gideon wasn't expecting to look and say, "If you're a coward, go home. If you're fearful, if you're a coward," we would say it in a lot of different ways today. We got a lot of different words we could say, but we're just going to stick to you. If you're a coward, go home. And I'm sure Gideon wasn't expecting 22,000 to go home. But 22,000 men said, "I'm afraid, and I'm not afraid to tell you I'm afraid. I'm a coward, and I'm not too big a coward to tell you I'm a coward." So they leave, but the Lord told Gideon, "There's still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with you and who will not." Gideon took his warriors down to the water. The Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." And only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." He says, "I want you to take the men who are attentive, the ones who get down and on their hands and their knees and put their face in the water and lap the water up with their tongue, send them home. They're not paying attention. But the ones who get down on their knees and cup the water and they're looking around, they're being vigilant. They're watching and being aware of what's happening." See, the book of Judges is not a great book. It's a book that really shows more of a backslidden Israel than anything. You end the book of Joshua, you end with them going into Canaan, and they've totally gotten victory over every enemy. There, matter of fact, Joshua ends it, he says, "Okay, you've seen all that the Lord's done. We've conquered all these cities, we've conquered all these armies, we are total at peace." The Bible says that the Lord had given Israel victory over all of their enemies, and they were totally at peace. Then there came a period of time where they were not being attentive to what had happened in their life. They weren't worshiping their God. They weren't giving to Him. They weren't renewing their hearts and their minds. They weren't serving Him. They weren't praying to Him. They just wasn't being attentive to who they were. Matter of fact, at the last verse in the book of Judges, it says this, "And there was no king in Israel. Therefore, every man did what was right in their own eyes." They didn't have anybody to focus on. They didn't have a leader to attend to. They didn't have someone that they could place attention to that would lead them and guide them and direct them and let them be who they're supposed to be. Now, I love the whole story. And let me give you a little background of it because I love this story. Gideon, the Midianites had come to attack the land of Israel. And the Bible says that the Israelites were hiding in dens and in caves. And Gideon was one that was hiding in a den in a cave. And he was threshing wheat and he was hiding it so that the enemy wouldn't get his food. And while Gideon is hiding fearfully, cowardly in a cave, an angel appeared to him. And the angel said, "Mighty man of valor." New Living Translation says, "Mighty hero of the Lord. You see, Gideon didn't know who he was. Who told Gideon he was a coward? Think about it for a moment. Who told Gideon he was fearful? He told himself, I'm sure, over and over again. As a matter of fact, his response to the angel was, I'm the least in my family. My tribe's the least of all tribes, and I'm the least of all my family. I'm the most coward of the coward. I'm the most fearful of the fearful. I'm the most weakest of the weak. And that's who I am. Somebody told him that. I was thinking, Ralph, when you and Mary were sharing about meditation Wednesday night, it hit me. I knew where I was going this week. And here's Gideon. He hadn't meditated in the right way. Why was it? You know, this is a story that's kind of played out in a lot of different scenarios in the Old Testament. A lot of different people played this same story out. God had to come to them and remind them who they were. But there was a man. There was a man that God didn't have to remind when he got into tough situations. God didn't have to remind one man that I know of in the Old Testament, Joy, that God didn't have to remind who he was. You know who he was? His name was David. And you know why? Because he did not spend time with a bunch of negative people telling him how difficult life is and how bad things are. He spent time out in a shepherd's field, him and God and the sheep. And all the sheep could say was bah. And so he could interpret their bah any way he wanted to. And he probably interpreted, bah, you're a good man, David. Bah, you're a mighty man of war, David. Bah, you're really something, David. And so when David comes to Israel one time and there's a battle going on and nobody was strong and nobody would fight Goliath, David said, I'll fight him. I'll fight him. I've been in the, nobody's told me I can't do it. I can do it because, you know, because I was tending the sheep one day and a bear came in and I killed the bear. Yeah. I was, another time I was there and a lion came in and I killed the lion. And this Philistine is no more than they are. I mean, I would think if I can kill a bear, I believe I'd take on anybody. I believe I could take on you, my friend. Big as you are, if I'd killed a bear, I wouldn't be afraid. But I ain't killed no bear, so I ain't gonna do it. But you know what? He said, I've killed a bear and I've killed a lion, and I can take this Philistine. Oh, you can't do it, David. Go home. I'm not going home. I'm not going home. Matter of fact, I've heard that this king has said he'd give somebody his daughter if they'd fight this man. I'll take her. She's pretty. Nobody else wants to fight this battle. I'll fight this battle. There's a reason to fight battles, folks. There's a reason to win battles because there's always rewards when you win battles. Nothing wrong with trophies. Barbara came home yesterday with her little thing again, first place again in her race. And Jet said, Nan, you got a trophy? You got a trophy? Why? Because you won. There's something about winning. If you ain't first, you're last. Ricky Bobby said, something about winning. If we all want to win. Y'all want to win. You need to have a winning attitude. You are a winner. You're not a loser. You're the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're more than a conqueror through him that has loved you. You are victorious now, and if you'll say you're victorious, you'll be victorious. You'll win not some of the battles, you'll win all of the battles. People say, you know, I may lose some battles, but I'm going to win the war. If you lose enough battles, you're going to lose the war. Battles are important because they determine who wins the war. I don't know if you know it or not, but the South lost more battles than the North did. And guess who won? The North. Because it won more battles. Well, it's just a battle. A battle means everything. A battle has scars. A battle has wounds. A battle can deflate you if you don't win it. Somebody help me preach this morning. I'm glad I'm a part of a church that believes you're winners. I believe that you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You can win. And so finally this angel convinced Gideon, you're the man. And Gideon said, whoa. Let's do this. Just so I'll know, I'll let him put out a fleece. Just so I know that you're going to be with me, let me put out a fleece. I'm going to take this wool, and I'm going to lay it out. And in the morning, after the dew has fallen, then I want the fleece to be wet and all the ground to be dry. He gets up, and sure enough. And I think that'd be enough. You know, I put out a few fleeces in my life. You ever put out a fleece? Y'all try it sometime. They're fun. Yeah. Let me get there. So he said, so God did what he wanted. So the next, he said, now let me ask you one more time. When this time in the morning, let all the ground be wet, but the wool fleece be dry. He got up next morning. Sure enough, he was. Maybe that's what God was doing when he looked back at Gideon and say, let's put out a fleece. Now, you got too many people. But let me show you how wonderful God is. Let me tell you how great and awesome and attentive, if you will, he is to you. Gideon asked for a fleece, and God gave it to him. And he didn't ask for another one, but God gave him the greatest confidence he ever had. The night before the battle, God says to Gideon, go down to the Midianites' camp and put your ear to the tent. And he heard a dream being interpreted, and it told him for sure that the Israelites were going to come in and weren't going to destroy them. And you know what? Are you ready for this? This is one of those good revelations. You ready? I like giving it to you over there. If you're attentive to what's going on around you, there won't be no battles. Because what happened, now if you call this a battle, call it a battle. I'd love to know if I just blow a trumpet, break a pitcher, and scream, I won. I screamed a lot and didn't win. But all he said, in other words, you're not going to have to go down there with a sword. All you got to do is scream out a shout of victory, break this pitcher, and blow this trumpet. All you got to do at any time is blow your trumpet. Let the enemy know, let the world know who you are, whose side you're on, and you are a conqueror, and there will be no battles because they don't want no part of that. They don't want no part of that. You tell them right up front, this is who I am. Man, if you just be attentive, you won't have to fight any battles. Wow. Colossians chapter 3. Since you've been raised with new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits in the place of the honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, the whole world, you shall share in his glory. In other words, when the Christ is revealed in you, you'll share his glory. When you share the throne room realities of heaven of who you are, when you come from the throne room of heaven, you see, Paul in every epistle always told them who they were before he asked them to do anything. They did what they did out of their being, not out of their knowing what he just told them to do. He told them, you're seated with me in heavenly places. You are with me at the right hand of the Father. You are seated with me at the right hand of power. You are seated with me in the throne room of heaven. Therefore, now I have throne room realities. And it's just, a throne room reality is that I go from getting to giving. I believe that giving is above getting. I believe that serving is above ruling. I believe that forgiving is above avenging. Paul said, I'm going to first let you know who you are, what power you have, what privileges you have, before I ask you to do anything. And after they've known, he tells them in Colossians all these wonderful things. Then he begins to tell them, do a few things. And this is what you got to do every day of life. You got to kill some things. You got to strip some things away. And you got to put some things on. You got to kill certain things. You got to strip certain things. You got to put certain things on. And so after he tells them all these wonderful things, who they are, he says, now put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. When I read this, you know, it's like God's not sitting up there and he sees stuff going on and he's throwing lightning bolts down. When he says the anger of God, the anger of God is simply the rule of the universe. A man will sow what he reaps, what he'll reap what he sows. The anger of God is, and the moral order of the universe are one and the same thing. It's just what happens. It's consequences of it. And so he says, now, these kind of things you don't strip off, you kill. You have nothing, you gotta give it a death blow. You don't discipline it, you give it a death blow. You know, if the computer's got you, throw the computer out, give it a death blow. You say, that's pretty strong. Maybe you're strong, but that's what you need to do. Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. In other words, he's not really telling you to cut your hand off or pluck your eye out. He's really saying to the whatever extreme you got to go, kill that thing. Kill that thing. Then he says, I want you to strip off some other things. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now's the time to get rid of or put off, or I love the term strip, and I'll tell you when I like that in a minute. Get rid of anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. Now you got to put on something. Before I get into what we put on and close out with this, I want you to get this picture. Well, let me read this, then we'll do it. Put on your new nature, which is renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, or circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. He destroyed the barriers that come from birth. He destroyed the difference between ceremonial and ritual. He destroyed what was cultured and what's uncultured. Who is slave and who's free. He says there's no longer distinction between any of that. If I go into a Catholic church, Episcopalian church, or high ritual church of any, there's no difference. Christ in them, Christ in us. He separated the ritual, ceremonial, and the ritual, the cultured from the uncultured. Till you see other people the same way you see yourself. He says, since God chose you to be holy people, He loves you, you must clothe yourself. You got to put these things on. And before we go through that, I don't know about you. Number one, I got up and got dressed this morning. And to put my clothes on, I didn't stand in front of the closet and go, okay, pants, jump on. All right, shirt, jump on. I don't have a servant who dresses me every morning. But I had to intentionally go into my closet, purposely get something, pull it out, and intentionally put it on. I had to think about it a little bit. Now, when I go home, and I'm real particular how I dress. I've always been that way. I know some people don't understand that, but I'm particular how I put my clothes on. But you know what? When I get home, I can't show you what I do. It would not be right. But I just, I'm walking in my bedroom, and I'm just going to start stripping clothes off, throwing them down, stripping them off, because they served its purpose. Then I'm going to put on something else. Some things in life, you just got to strip it away like it really doesn't mean anything to you. I don't need anger. I don't need rage. I don't need those things. But I do need these things. I'm going to clothe myself with tender mercies. Tender mercies. A heart of pity toward everything that is suffering with all kinds of troubles. You got to get the picture of where, what Christianity, what good people, what good things, what tender mercies have done over the last 10,000 years. When Paul wrote this, it'd be nothing to kill an animal, even a slave. If a master got fed up with his slave and didn't want to deal with him anymore, he just had him put to death. There was no pity. He says, I want you to have pity for everything. Anything that's hurting, you should have pity for it. Tender bowels of mercy. Tender bowels of mercy. He said, put on kindness. About a month ago, I was sitting on the deck and I got a text. I got a phone call. And the phone call said that Richard and Cam Shower's oldest son had drowned. Richard and Cam Shower were members here years ago. They live in Savannah or somewhere down in there now. And I text Richard, and I said, Richard, so sorry to hear about your son. And he texts back. He said, thank you. And that he said, we are, this is a tough one, I think is what he said in the text. I said, yeah. Well, it was 4 weeks ago, and I decided to purposely wait a few weeks. And I called him this week, and he got on the phone, and I said, Richard, I just want to call you a few weeks later and tell you, Barbara and I have thought about you guys so many times, and our prayers have go up to you, our sympathy to you. We are so sorry. And Richard said something that pastorally, I think, helped me in a big time. He said, you know, Buren, and Richard was in the ministry for certain amount of years and it's always been very active in church. And he said, you know what, Buren? He said, I used to, when tragedies like this happen in somebody else's life, I often wondered, what could I possibly say to them who's lost a child? What would a card really mean to them? And this is what he said. He said, I'm like everybody, we've all have, you know, all of us have thoughts that come through our heads. I'm sure we've all imagined what it'd be like to lose a child. And you just, the cringe, and you just, oh, how horrible or even a thought that is. But to think you really lost a child. He said, Buren, I would thought in the past that nobody, no word anybody could say to me, no letter anybody could write to me, no card anybody could send to me would help me at all. He said, but Buren, every call, every card, he said, that every card we got, we sat down and intentionally read that card, knowing that that person who picked out that card, they went and picked out a card because they're sending it to someone who's lost a son. And they picked out a card, and the words that they were saying, they really meant those words. And he said, I can't tell you how much it meant to Cam and I to read those words of comfort and encouragement. He says, and every one of them meant everything to us. And I thought, wow. And I said, Richard, thank you for sharing that with me. Because so heighten my awareness of what a word means in due season, what a card means, what sorry means. Thinking about you, being kind. I want to pause here for a moment because over the next several months, maybe from now on, a man named J.D. Glass is going to be moving into my house this evening. A lot of you know JD. A lot of you don't. JD is going through some tough times, and he's coming here to start all over. And so you're going to see a man sitting over here with me. And for those of you who know him, just love on him, encourage him. Don't ask any questions. Just bless him. But he's gone through a tough time. He's starting over. And I've told him over and over again over the last few months, it's okay to start over. It's okay to start over. At times in life, it just gets there. For whatever reasons, it really doesn't matter. Sometimes it's just okay to start over. And one of the reasons that he can come to my house is because I put on something years ago. I went down and I knelt at an altar and hands were laid on me and they ordained me into the ministry. And in that ordination service, there was read some things I need to be. And said, you need to be faithful to your wife. You need to be able to teach the Word of God. You need to be. And he says, you need to be hospitable. You need to open your house to people. And that has been as great a qualification and a being a part of my life that there is. And that's who God said for me to be. And out of that being will come doing. And out of that doing will come an effective work in people's lives. And so am I fearful? Am I concerned with the situation that's going to happen over the next several months? Not at all. Because the God in me is the most powerful thing on the planet Earth. And the God in me can work in me and through me and restore and renew and refresh and redo. And so I'm looking forward to the job. Looking forward to the work. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Am I doing that in a drudgery? No. It's not a drudgery to me. It's who I am. It's who I be. Not a drudgery. Be kind, be humble, be gentle, be patient. Make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that rules from Christ rule in your hearts as members of one body that you are called in peace. And be thankful. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. We did that today. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Jesus came to Lazarus' tomb. He knew what he was going to do. He wept, knowing he's going to raise him from the dead. But there were people weeping. So Jesus wept. He said, take me to where you placed him. I said, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. He said, roll that stone away. He shouted with a voice of victory, Lazarus, come forth. And a dead man jumped up. I don't know if we're ready to get the picture of this. I think we read these stories sometimes like a Sunday school fairy tale. If you were there and you was at the tomb and Jesus said, Lazarus, get up, and a dead man jumped up, you'd probably go, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jumped up. And he come bouncing out because he was bound up in grave clothes. He didn't come walking. He come. Now, I don't know about you, but I like this, don't you? How many like to walk like this? I hate to know. So he said, take those. He looked at other people and said, take those grave clothes off him. Take those things that are binding him and got him bound. Take them off. Strip him of those things that have him bound, because the word for grave means a place of remembrance. If I go out to the cemetery today, if I take Ralph to the cemetery today and we walk up to my dad's grave, he's going to remember who? Ed. It's a place of remembrance. You need to strip away those grave clothes of remembrance of things gone by. Those things that held you bound in the past. Those things that attached themselves to you. You need to strip yourselves of those clothes so you can walk like this. And you can run. And you don't hop around and can't barely get around because you're bound. Because you stop remembering the things. And this is what it is. When you remember something, you go and you get it and you start putting it all. You're remembering it. You're talking about it. You're putting it all back together. We serve a resurrected Christ, not a resurrected devil. He's a resurrected Christ that we serve. And we need to just strip those things of remembrance away. Randy Travis had a song years ago, Digging Up Bones. Anybody ever heard the song Digging Up Bones? Digging up old memories of days gone by. That's why some people can't get on for the future, because they can't get past the past. You got to stop digging up bones. Stop digging up the bad memories. Just let it be good. Good memories. If Barbara brought up every bad thing I've done, we wouldn't be together. No, she wouldn't. We don't talk about those things. I read a thing this week. It said, only way, Billy, I love this, only way to really overcome sin is to put on something else. You see, you overcome evil with good. So you can't discipline sin, Joy. You can't discipline it. You can't discipline negativity. You've got to get rid of it. You can't discipline that stuff. You got to get rid of it. And you get rid of it by putting something else on. I either got on love, Billy, or I got on hate. I have no choice. I either got on kindness or I got on unkindness. I'm either portraying positive or I'm portraying negative. Either whatever I'm putting on, this, you see me? It's what I put on. And this is all you can see. It said, let the fruit of the Spirit be in you. And I'll say this in closing because I love this part. And the fruit of the Spirit's not for me. The fruit of the Spirit's not for me. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, and kindness, and meekness, and faith. That's not for me. I'm a fruit tree. Here, you want an apple of love? Pick it. There you go. You want some mercy? Go ahead. You can pick it. You want some kindness? No, I ain't giving you no kind of kindness. You want some kindness? You can have some kindness. Go ahead and pick it. No, you can pick it. No, you can't. You with me? Just pick me. Pick me. Pick me. Remember Shrek, the donkey? Pick me. We need some Christians walking around saying, you need some love? Pick me. You need some mercy? Pick me. You need some long-suffering? Pick me. Pick me. No difference in me and you. No difference. No difference, right? You get fearful. Coward. You're not a coward. Pick me. Pick you. Amen. Got to show you this video. Now, it's 3 minutes long. Listen, you got to read the words. They're not going to sing to you. They're not going to. You got to read the words on the screen, okay? This is why what I've said is so important. Keith, you'll like this. Jim, I wish I could catch a fish that easily, that big, don't you? You know, that's why being attentive to yourself and renewing yourself and change is so important, because it's all only going to make you better for the future. Eldership coming, going to receive communion this morning. I know we run over a little bit, but y'all just bear with us. It's okay. Stand together, and as you come and receive your elements, then go back to your chair and we'll receive it together. Things that we never ever need to remember. There are few things that we need to always remember. This is one of the great remembrances that we have. For every time we break this bread, we remember the price that was paid for our salvation. And every time we drink this cup, we're reminded of a new covenant. Jesus said, I'm giving you love one another.
This Wednesday night is the first Wednesday of the month, and especially for the next several months, We are only having the first Wednesday night service. I know for January, February, and March, we met every Wednesday. But we are back to just the first Wednesday, so make sure that you come out. If you want some awesome, relaxed worship and a tremendous, powerful word, you want to be here on first Wednesdays. It's really awesome. Let's pray and bless this offering. Lord, we thank you. Lord, as we come to your house, Lord, as we give our talents and our time, our first fruits, Father, Lord, our tithes, our offerings, our alms, Lord, that you use that for the furtherment of your kingdom. Thank you for replenishing us, Father, Lord, for refreshing us each and every time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Also, make sure you've marked your calendar. May 1st is our cookout. You don't want to miss it.
And first Wednesday this week, you guys, it's a great time for us to be able to just worship in a more intimate and just, it's just a cool night. So I encourage you, be here.
Of heaven through the glory of your Son. And in a moment you can turn a life around, forever to be found in you. And I am reaching out to find, there's nothing greater than your love that holds my life. Your grace and fire.
Have a great day, great week.